On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introduce him, the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
Well, guys, it's here. It's Sunday night. We're going to be with you for the next hour. It's your weekly boxing fix with us here at 98 FM on the roads. Firstly, Charlie, not only has the weather been hot, but there's been some hot matchups this week with the Matchroom headquarters. And speaking about hot, Charlie sat here with his shirt off, just like Ian Lee.
Yeah, it's like a sauna in his studio, Mark. It's been a glorious weekend. I've had a fantastic day in the garden with the kids, inflated the pool, you know, a couple of beers, barbecue on the go. Bliss, what's it all about? Who needs foreign holidays?
Absolutely. The weather has been stunning. I mean, I hope you guys have had a great weekend and thoroughly enjoying the record-like temperatures, I have to say. I mean, myself, we've been busy out and about today. We've got ourselves over to Battlesbridge Antique Fair. If you haven't been there, guys, go and give it a go. Fantastic. I mean, the shops over there, some retro bits and bobs. You've got the Barge Inn, which is fantastic for lunch. Really, really thoroughly enjoyed my afternoon over at Battlesbridge.
Well, we are a pair of antiques now, Mark, aren't we? So, suits you down to the ground, that.
Speak for yourself, son. John!
Hold on, we're twins, you Wally!
Right, guys, as always, news and views coming up, and also a special guest for you in part two. We're going to be catching up with car salesman, come boxing promoter, Sam Jones in part two. He'll discuss his remarkable story and his current crop of fighters. Charlie, really, really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait, Mark. It's going to be a fascinating interview, you know. So, guys, stick around, you know, and you know, looking forward to speaking about Sam's career to date and obviously the boxers under his wing as well. You know, he's building a lovely little stable there at S Jam Boxing. So, really looking forward to catching up with him. So, stick around, guys.
Please do. Right, firstly, topics of a discussion as always. We called this one last week, Charlie. The fight has been announced in the early hours of this morning. Errol Spence Jr. versus Danny Garcia for the WBC and IBF welterweight world titles. Now, it's going to take place November 21st. Stick that in your diary, guys, at the Microsoft Theatre, Los Angeles. Big test this for Spence, Charles, after his car crash, obviously, last year against the experienced and hungry Danny Garcia.
Yes, really, really. Well, we spoke about it briefly last week, as you said. And, you know, Errol Spence, the trauma of that car accident, Mark. And, you know, I believe he's got other demons, you know, out there in terms of addictions. I mean, Garcia, to step back in against Garcia, you turn that down a bit, Mark. I think you're too loud there. Yeah. Sorry, guys, I could hear a bit of background noise. Mark's shoddy work on the mics. Yeah, so, you know, Errol Spence, is it too soon, Mark, for him to step back in against a world-class operator like Danny Garcia? You know, time will tell, but, you know, obviously banter's been rife as usual on social media, you know, all the boxing threads that we follow. And I don't know if you saw Bud Crawford. Errol Spence had posted a picture with his top off, and it was hilarious, Mark. Bud Crawford was like, that guy's got bigger boobies than my wife. It was so funny. So Errol Spence has got a long way to go to get himself in shape. Not obviously physically, mentally as well, Mark. And I just, you know, the jury's out on whether or not this, you know, going straight back in against someone with a caliber like Garcia, it might be too soon for me. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think Errol Spence has got enough time. You know, he's got until November to prepare himself. I think he will find himself very fortunate after the car crash to get another chance. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. He is an elite fighter, right? He's up there with the likes of Crawford in modern boxing. modern boxing. He was in great shape physically. As you said, mentally is the big question mark now. Whether he comes back to the sport, hopefully he'll be fully committed to it. But I am really intrigued by this matchup because I think Garcia is the more experienced fighter. He's been in and around the game a lot longer now. He's been at world level. I mean, this, Charlie, I think this is his biggest test, Errol Spence Jr. really doing, Danny Garcia.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, Mark. And, like you said, for me, Garcia, on his day, fantastic boxer. Sometimes he switches off. But, you know, he's probably got one of the best left hooks in the business. You know, certainly at welterweight. And, you know, there will be other takers out there watching, you know, people like Kell Brook and et cetera. So, you know, the boxing world will be watching, you know, how Spence returns. And for me, it's a real, real 50-50.
I couldn't agree more. Now, guys, what about this one? Billy Joe Saunders calls for Canelo Alvarez to fight him in December. Big words from Billy Joe, and he said, wait until December and come to a proper super middleweight champion. If he wants to come to England, I'll let him keep the money. If I beat him, pay me what I'm contracted to. If I don't pay me. That's how confident Billy Joe Saunders is.
Oh, he's got a pair, hasn't he, Mark? He has got a pair, that lad. I mean, you know, people were saying that he was only after the money, wasn't he? And, you know, he hadn't prepared properly for the fight. You know, the talk was that, you know, the Canelo camp hadn't given Billy Joe enough time. Well, it is Billy Joe trying to dangle a carrot now to give himself buy himself more time, you know, by saying, comes to the UK. I mean, you know, he's put his neck on the line there, hasn't he? I mean, what a thing to say, you know. If he loses, don't pay me. I mean, that's amazing.
But Charlie, if he was that brave, he would have taken the fight with Canelo in September. This is what worries me. As many people have now gone on to speculate that Canelo will be looking further afield now. You know, he needs a fight potentially before the year's out, Canelo. The likes of Jay Quigley, who we know personally, he's been on the show and we know him, you know, on a friendship front. He's with Golden Boy. He's being called out. You know, you've got John Ryder. He's been called out. Callum Smith is there and thereabouts. That is the big fight, potentially, of the division. Or Billy Joe Saunders. But Billy Joe, you could argue, had his chance. And he said he wasn't ready for September.
Yeah, but you could say he had his chance, Mark. But, you know, these boxers aren't stupid, are they? You know, Canelo was trying to catch him on the hop, right? You know, COVID, people down tools, people, you know, switch off. We've all done it, right? Over COVID, you know, I've put on a few pounds. You know, just sitting out in the garden having a couple of slurps in the hot weather. You know, and Billy Joe, when he's not training, he's a bit like, you know, Ricky Hatton and people like that. He blows up. So I kind of understand where he was coming from. September hadn't given him, you know, they hadn't given him enough time. And now he's just literally trying to flip reverse it. And he's putting the pressure back on Canelo saying, you know, well, if you really want to fight me, come to the UK. You know, and a winner takes all basis. So, again, I think he's buying time. He's just buying himself some time. I agree with what you're saying. Canelo has to remain active. And Jay Quigley could be an easy match, Mark. He's under De La Hoya. You know, Golden Boy. He's ready to go. And it'll be a good little test for Canelo, you know. And it will tick him over, dust the cobwebs down. And that'll be an intriguing fight as well. But obviously, I think 2021 is where the big fights take place. You know, Billy Joe Saunders, Callum Smith. You know, that weight, whether it's middleweight or super middleweight. You've got Benavidez, you know, he's fighting this weekend, may I add, you know, over in the States. So there's so many good boxers in and around the middleweight division. It's a fascinating division. And I can't wait to actually see some of these big fights being made.
I think the Quigley fight is easier to make for September for Golden Boy, as you said, with De La Hoya. Jay Quigley, you know, needs a big fight. It's Mexico versus Ireland. The fans will probably flock to it, wherever it is, whether it's Mexico City or whether it's LA, you know, or, you know, New York, Barclays Center. The fans will flock to it, both Mexican fans and Irish fans.
Yeah, but Canelo doesn't come out of Vegas, does he? It's going to be in and around Vegas. He never leaves Vegas.
Yeah, no, fair point. But it's a fight that could be easily matched for September. But anyway, where Canelo goes before Billy Joe or before Callum Smith, we'll have to wait and see. Big story in the big guy division this week. The WBC have reaffirmed their position on the heavyweight division. They have said and confirmed that if Dillian White is triumphant against Povetkin, the winner of the upcoming Fury versus Wilder 3 bout must face White as the mandatory defence early next year. But a spanner in the works this week. Bob Arum has revealed Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3 could be pushed back to February 2021. He said plans to stage the fight December 19th in Vegas depend on whether they'll be allowed fans or some fans or not. They're in talks to stage it abroad in the first week of February, potentially, and Eddie Hearn has basically called for Tyson Fury versus Wilder 3 to now be cancelled if it is to be pushed back to February 2021. He claims he's willing to stage Fury versus Dillian White this year in Saudi or even Fight Camp, as he believes it can do 1.5 million pay-per-views. How about that one?
But Eddie Hearn, he's a shrewd businessman, Mark. He is a shrewd businessman. And I do tend to agree with him. You know, that fight, not necessarily be cancelled, but, you know, Wilder might be paid to sit out, Mark, because obviously Dillian White, he's been waiting long enough. He deserves a fair shot, doesn't he, really? He's waited almost over two, is it 2 years or almost 2 years? You know, by the time this come around, I think it will be over 2 years. So he fully deserves a shot. Now, there's so much going on. I don't know if you saw this week as well, the WBA. Mahmoud Char, Andy Ruiz Jr. for the WBA regular belt. Apparently that's going to take place in December. Now, does that lead in, you know, if Ruiz comes through that, does that then lead a trilogy versus AJ? You know, you're talking about the trilogy Fury Wilder, you know, and then obviously people are talking about AJ versus Fury 2021, you know, a couple of matches being made there. So the heavyweight division, I think there's going to be a few more twists and turns, Mark. But for sure, Dillian White, as long as he comes through Povetkin, of course, he deserves his opportunity. He really does.
But I don't think Eddie Hearn has made a valid point there in saying that, obviously, Bob Arum wants to see fans and spectators back in stadiums in the US. But if we can't do that, pay-per-view viewings, look at what, you know, Matchroom Head HQ, look at the events he's been putting on, which we will talk about in due course. Look at the spectacles he's putting on. They're fantastic. So people will buy into it from home if we are in lockdown.
Well, they are, Mark, and obviously it has been, you're right, it's been a spectacular show. You know, it's been fantastic for the boxing fans, you know, where we've been deprived of boxing, you know, for the last few months. Now it's back in abundance. So, but, you know, Eddie Hearn, again, I agree, but, you know, White versus Povetkin will be a real, real test in terms of how people are buying into pay-per-view at home, you know, with no crowds, because, you know, that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I think that will be, you know, a real, real blueprint in terms of how the sport grows going forward.
Now, sad news this week, actually. Jorge Linares has tested positive for COVID-19. Doctors have advised that he now rests for at least 10 days. He was due to face Javier Fortuna for the WBC Diamond lightweight belt on August 28th. I mean, I wish him, firstly, a speedy recovery, Charlie, and sad news for Linares, because I'm sure he was, you know, keen to get back in the boxing ring.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore, Mark, is he, in terms of, you know, boxing age, and he's been in some real battles over the years, you know, notably, obviously, Luke Campbell, etc. Very, very unfortunate for him. And, you know, we wish him well, and hopefully, you know, he gets back to a speedy recovery. You know, where this leads moving forward, you know, for this fight, I'm not so sure. You know, will he be back in action this year? I pretty much doubt that, but yeah, wish him a speedy recovery.
Another fight announced this week, Jose Ramirez versus Victor Postol, I should say. WBC and WBO super lightweight titles on the line, August 29th. MGM Grand, Las Vegas. Charlie, could be a tasty fight, this one.
Yeah, Ramirez, Mark, he's a cool customer, and he can certainly bang. So, really looking forward to that one. Just, you know, all manner of boxing. Again, this is August. You know, August is fully stacked. So many events going on around the world. And this one, I'll definitely be watching out for. Just be interested to know where we can catch it in the UK, but I'm sure there'll be a stream out there for sure.
Back in the United Kingdom now, Josh Taylor's mandatory defence of his WBA and IBF super lightweight world titles will be against Anipong Kongshong. Try and pronounce that one after a lager. It's reportedly now being planned for September 26th in the United Kingdom. Taylor back in action, Charlie, very, very soon.
Well, he's a real talent, isn't he, Mark? He is a real talent. I don't know much about the other fella, Kong Swong, or whatever you called him, but, you know, Josh Taylor, what a boxer, you know. He is a fantastic little boxer. Love seeing him in action. Wears his heart on his sleeve. You know, potentially pound for pound, one of the best in that division. And it's a mandatory defence. So, you know, the other guy's going to be a strong opponent. Obviously, he's highly ranked. So, looking forward to it. It will be a good contest, for sure. But, yeah, glad to see him back. The Tartan Army, isn't it? Is that what he calls himself?
Tartan Army. I mean, he is a great talent, Charlie. I would go far as saying that he's probably Britain's elite best boxer. Now, some would argue that obviously you made a point about being up there in terms of in the division at world level, but certainly in the United Kingdom, he's probably our best boxer at the moment.
Big statement, bro. No, big statement.
Who'd you put above him then? Tom. Name a boxer above Josh Taylor at this present moment in time, in pound for pound, elite boxer.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah. But okay, arguably Tyson Fury.
Oh, here we go. You're changing your tune now.
My money would be on Josh Taylor.
Okay,
he's very underrated, very unknown. Tyson Fury is known by the whole world. No one particularly knows Josh Taylor that well.
No, they don't. But obviously, against
Prograde,
yeah. That's when Josh Taylor, elevated onto the world scene, right, in that World Series competition. You know, that was a phenomenal fight, Mark. And that's when people started realising that Josh Taylor, became more of a household name, not obviously in the UK, but, worldwide as well. But for me, he's definitely up there, don't get me wrong. But, someone like Tyson Fury, for me, is, pound for pound, and he's done it. But then again, you buy into the whole story, Tyson Fury, what he's done in the last, 2 years, from where he was to where he is today. I mean, not only is he pound for just you got to admire the man for that, right?
No, absolutely. He's overcome all his demons and he's top of the world again. Before we start to wrap up part one, I want to talk about Friday night's action, Charlie, from Matchroom Square Garden HQ, and some really, really good bouts again. Headlined by obviously Harper versus Jonas. That was an absolute cracking bout. Wrong decision for me though. I had Jonas by one round. I was really impressed by Chris Billingsmith and Anthony Fowler. They both looked in great condition and, really, really coming on leaps and bounds from Shane McGuigan. And I think also Duncan Ogilvie has to take a mention, because Duncan, we know very well, strength and conditioning coach. Both those lads were in fantastic shape, considering, we are in COVID lockdown. So, Fowler for me, probably... I thought he was boxer of the night, if I'm perfectly honest. I think Johnny Nelson said Billingsmith was his boxer of the night. I would have said Fowler. I mean, and I want to get your thoughts on where he goes next, Fowler. I want to get your thoughts on where Billingsmith goes. And I want to get your thoughts on Harper Jonas. What was the decision? Was it the right decision? Was it the wrong decision?
I think it was very close, Mark. Now, let's start with that fight. I mean, what an advert for women's boxing, first and foremost. That is the best, and it was the first world title held in Britain for two British females, and at the Matchroom Mansion, what a moment in history. It was fantastic, and I've got to tell you, I've thoroughly enjoyed that fight. Jonas, written off, Mark, 36-year-old. Yes, she had a great Olympics. She hasn't really produced in the pro ranks. Harper, the up and coming, much the younger girl. I'm up and coming. But Jonas, from the opening bell, smothered her work, because she knew that Harper had quick hands. Experience buys, right? Experience, it brought her into them championship rounds where she smothered her work. On the inside, she was the stronger fighter. Some of the little left hooks, uppercuts, she was wearing her down. And Harper, you could see, just looking at the pair's shoulders, Mark, Harper was much the slender boxer. Jonas was a lot more powerful, you could see that. And with the heat, Harper was tiring. So, Joe Gallagher, you could see what the game plan was. Smother her work. Don't let her, box from range, because she will pick you off with her speed. And it works an absolute treat. Into the championship rounds, Jonas was taking them. I had Jonas just nicking it, Mark. But it could have gone either way. It really could have gone either way. And some may say it was a robbery. It wasn't a robbery. It could have gone either way. And maybe a draw was about right, but that's the thing about boxing. It's an opinionated sport. You're going to get people that are saying it's a robbery. You're going to get people that are saying it was a draw. Others are going to say Jonas nicked it. But for me, Jonas did just nick it. But a fantastic advert for women's boxing.
It was. I mean, it was spectacular for women's sport in general, not just boxing. I mean, Terry Harper did retain the WBC, I should say, super featherweight title. It was a split decision draw. I'll give you the scorecards. One scorecard had it 96-95 in favour of Jonas. And another judge had it 96-94 to Terry Harper. And the third judge tied it at 95-95. Would we like to see it again? Yes. As Charlie said, a great advert for female boxing. Wonderful fight, seeing two British females in there fighting for a world title. Chris Billingsmith, Charlie, on to him. What did you think versus Fawley? I mean, good work from Smith. Got rocked, though, quite early, didn't he, in the fight? He looked a little bit unnervy with a few shots, but came back strong.
Yeah, I mean, he got caught, Mark, but Fawley was not a natural cruiserweight. You could see that. Billiam Smith, I think you touched upon it there, the strength and conditioning. You could see from Noten and Bell, you could see his shoulders were, you know, twice the size of Fawley's, Mark. Fawley is caught in no man's land in terms of weight. I think cruiserweight is not his weight. You know, light heavy, he sits somewhere between the two. And I think, you know, he's like 27, 28. He's a very good amateur. But, you know, at cruiserweight, you really have to carry the weight well and carry a bit of power. And unfortunately, he had neither. Billiam Smith looks strong. Yes, he took a punch, Mike. He took a couple to the head earlier on. But that's boxing, right? You're going to get hit. You have to sometimes you have to take a shot to return free. Obviously, them three that he was returning were doing a lot more damage than the one he was taking. So, you know, you're never going to get hit in boxing. You have to trade. And he did trade a little bit. But, you know, he wore Fawley down. And, you know, the ref done the right thing stopping that fight early, because, you know, that could have been really nasty, that fight.
Now, Billiam Smith defended his Commonwealth Cruiserweight title for the... That was his first defence. Where does he go next, Charlie? Are we talking the rematch with Riakpor? Where does he go from here?
It has to be Riakpor or Tommy McCarthy, Mark. Tommy McCarthy's out there now. He's got the European belt.
European belt, yeah.
So someone like McCarthy, I think Riakpor would be a tasty fight domestically. I think a lot of people would like to see that, you know. And he's got the British, hasn't he, Riakpor? So, you know, that would be a tasty fight. But if I was McGuigan and co, I wouldn't even worry about Riakpor now, because that could be made further down the road, you know, for a massive unification fight potentially, right? You know, and there's going to be a bit of bad blood there, so that sells. You know, people will buy into that. I'd go after someone like McCarthy, I really would. You know, McGuigan was talking about moving Fowler on to European level versus someone like Sergio Garcia. Why can't Billiam Smith, you know, have a stab at the European?
Now, absolutely. I think McCarthy probably would be the right fight for him now. Riakpor could be further down the line, and there could be a lot of belts on the line. You know, the European, the Commonwealth and the British. I mean, that would be a fantastic bout domestically. On to Fowler now. Anthony Fowler, for me, you can see the improvement that he's making with McGuigan. Charles, some of the combinations early on, I mean, and the power and velocity in the punches, fantastic. I mean, honestly, and the movement is improving. The left hand is still very, very low for me, and he did get caught with some stupid shots. I mean, obviously, his opponent had no power. Harper had no power. I mean, absolutely had nothing to offer, really, in terms of punching ability. But Fowler, for me, looks in great shape. He looks confident. And his footwork and everything, his movement is really, really improving under McGuigan. I was so impressed by him.
Yeah, well, we've mentioned Fowler before, Mike. And don't get me wrong, he's not everyone's cup of tea, right? Some people love him, some people loathe him. You know, I think he's a character. You know, the post-bout interview was so funny as well, you know, where he was just rambling on and he said, you know, I'll keep going kind of thing. And he was mentioning, you know, the lower region, the low shots and stuff.
Harper, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, he's good value for that. But, you know, again, McGuigan said afterwards, sometimes he gets over-eager, too keen. And he referenced, you know, Groves versus Froch. And for the record, Fowler reminds me a little bit like Froch. We've mentioned that before. When he plants his feet, he can really let his fists go, you know, his hands go. But like Shane McGuigan said, if you keep throwing the same punch, your opponent becomes immune to that punch. They see it coming, and the longer the fight goes on, someone like Harper, a tough cookie, he'll go the distance, he'll take the punches, he'll wear you down, and then he might get lucky towards the back end of the fight. And you could see that McGuigan wasn't really happy with that, because Fowler has to learn, especially as he goes into those championship rounds with solid fighters. Someone like a Cheeseman, who'll have a war all day long every day. You know, and him and Fowler will just go toe-to-toe, but one of them's going to gas out, and I think that's what McGuigan was alluding to. You know, he needs to have more variety in his punches, not just keep throwing over them straight right hands, looking for power. You know, and he was trying with the body, and some of them were low, but as he said, you know, the guy had his shorts right up to his neck, so it was very difficult to see whether or not it was below the line or above the line. But I do agree, I do agree with Shane McGuigan. You know, if he can vary his work, the guy he'll take on anyone. And he said, you know, it could be Cheeseman, could be Fitzgerald, it could be Sergio Garcia. They'll fight anyone. And, you know, it's fantastic for that division, not only domestically, but certainly up to European level.
He does look very confident. I mean, I would argue that Fowler was a level above Adam Harper. Harper called him out and he wanted the fight. Harper should have been out there. I want to get your thoughts on that a lot earlier. He got stopped in the seventh by Fowler. He could have quite easily have been pulled out of there in the fifth. He took an absolute hammering in the fifth. And when you went to the corner, because you can hear everything now, there's no spectators or noise, background noise, you can hear the corner, which is fascinating in itself for boxing fans. And Harper said, Harper was telling his corner, I want one more round, which is wrong. His trainer should have been pulling him out of there. And they picked up on that as well. His trainer should have pulled him out in the fifth round. He took an absolute beating.
Yeah, Mark, I don't think... I kind of disagree. You could tell they knew... You know, they knew the calibre of the box. They know their man. You could tell that Harper was a tough cookie, right? He could take the blows, which is obviously, that was Shane McGuigan said that afterwards as well. So I think that's probably a little bit unfair to say he should have been pulled out earlier. You know, these boxers, you know, they've been around the mill. They know what they're doing. Opponents like these are hand cherry picked because of that reason. They'll go the distance. They'll take the punches. You know, Fowler needed rounds. So the fight went on. Yes, you know, it went on a couple of extra rounds, but you know, I wouldn't say, you know, it was worthy of a stoppage in at that particular moment in time. I agree, you know, round seven he had enough, but certainly in the earlier rounds I think he was sticking the pace.
On to a young and upcoming fighter now on the same bill Friday night, Hopi Price. Charlie, you know, he went 3-0. He's a good young prospect. I mean, he had a very, very good, strong amateur career. He won silver medals at the 2017 European Championships and the 2018 Youth World Championships. He's still only 20 years old. What do you think about Hopi Price?
Yeah, I like him, Mark. He's a confident lad as well. I think we've mentioned it before. He reminds me of a young Luke Campbell, Mark. He really does. Phillips, tough little cookie as well, you know. Obviously, he needed rounds as well, Hopi Price. So he got those rounds, you know, and he's going great guns under Matchroom. You know, he's been out to Saudi Arabia. That would have been a wonderful experience for him. And then, obviously, against Phillips, that was a real dogged performance from again, another one of those pros, like we mentioned, Harper there, who's been around the mill. Who's gonna give you a good scrap, and he's gonna push you all the way to get rounds under your belt. So a great learning curve that one for Hobie Price, and onwards and upwards.
Yeah, it was his first six rounder. Johnny Phillips has been in with the likes of Stephen Smith for 12 rounds. He's got that Luke Campbell style. That's who he reminds me of. I mean, you pointed that out previously. He's got that style, good amateur pedigree, boxed at the highest level as an amateur. He's got to develop now and build that power, because I'm not seeing that power just yet. But it's still early days.
Exactly. His body's got some growing to do yet, and that will come naturally. So you don't have to worry about that. It's all about the learning game at the moment, isn't it? You know, learning to go the distance, you know, get rounds under your belt, and then naturally, you know, the strength and conditioning side of it will come. So I've no qualms there. He's definitely a prospect.
Right, guys, it's now time for a bit of music, and we will catch up with you in part two with our special guest Sam Jones joining us live. So we're going to leave you with Lonyo, Summer of Love. Enjoy this one. We'll catch you soon.
All they wanna do is feel the heat of summer love. Move your body round, come on and get on down. It's the summer of love. Move your body round, let off and get on down. It's the summer of love. Sending out an SOS. It's the summer of love. Sexy girls, it's time to get dressed.
It out. One more. Jigga. Come see ya kicking it down. Sweet P, ya kicking it down. G-Man kicking it down. Come on.
Move your body round. Come on and get on down. It's the summer of love. Move your body round. Let off and get on down. Summer of love, sending out an SOS. It's the summer of love. Sexy girls, it's time to get dressed.
Welcome back to part two of the show, guys. We are pleased to have on the line boxing manager Sam Jones. Fight fans, you will know Sam very, very well. He takes care of several boxers, notably British heavyweight, the juggernaut Joe Joyce. Welcome, Sam, to On The Ropes, and how are you, my friend?
I'm all right. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure, and thank you for joining us tonight. I bet you're glad in some way, Sam, a bit like me and Charlie, that boxing's back. We've been going stir crazy. How's it been for you?
Listen, mate, boxing's never going to be the same without the fans, but we've all got to be very grateful that we've got it back on our TV screens, and that's a credit to the promoters in the country doing a good job.
Absolutely, Sam. Now, I mean, I'm fascinated to listen to your story into boxing management. I mean, it's an unbelievable one. I mean, can you tell our listeners how this came about?
Do you really want me to bore you to death with that?
Of course, mate, of course.
It's crazy, to be honest, mate. Like, I've done every job you can think of, to be honest, mate. Stacking shows, selling cars, selling insurances, just doing all kinds of different jobs. Every job you can think of, really. Apart from, I've never worked in fast food. I'm quite happy about that, but I've never done that before. But I've done every job you can think of other than that. I've always been around the boxing circuit. I was introduced to just cutting. I don't want to go into too much detail because it will be here all night. But I was introduced to Peter Fury. Then I met Tyson Fury, and that was the way. That was the way I got in. I got like a lot of my contacts. But my first job in boxing, I got Savannah Marshall on the undercard of Floyd Mayweather against Conor McGregor, which obviously got me a big profile. I got assigned to Mayweather, and that was my first deal in boxing, was with Floyd Mayweather. I told my dad, I'm going to meet Floyd Mayweather today. I'm going to do a deal with him. He honestly looked at me like I needed to be locked in a padded room. So I did that, defied the odds. I got 5 minutes with him. He told me I needed a new watch, and but he liked me, he liked what I was saying, and I then got in contact with Leonard. He put me through to Leonard Ellerby, where I finalised the deal for Savannah to be signed with Mayweather Promotions, and she'd have a debut in Las Vegas at the the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on the undercard of Conor McGregor against Mayweather. So it was pretty surreal story, to be honest. It sounds crazy, doesn't it, to be honest? But and I knew Joe Joyce. I'd met him at an airport. So I got in contact. I got speaking to Joe Joyce, and I've always known. I've stayed in contact with him ever since, and that was the. He entrusted me with his career, because I didn't make a penny off this Savannah Marshall thing. It was all about getting myself out there and showing. It was about building my profile. Do you know what I mean? It was nothing about money to me. It was all about getting the job done. I did it, got a profile, and Joe had obviously seen what I'd done there. He was happy with that. And then I got Joe signed to, it was the best offer at the time that Joe got. I got him signed to Haymaker Promotions, and funnily enough, the guy that was kind of negotiating against me with Joe's deal was my now business partner, Adam Morley, who was my best friend. We've created an amazing business together. So it's a really crazy story, but my first signing in professional boxing was an Olympic silver medalist heavyweight boxer, and I'm forever grateful to Joe for that, because he gave me my opportunity, and I know I've delivered. So but without that, I wouldn't have really got the opportunity, because I've started at such a high level, and I think that's what's turned people's heads, because I've only been in boxing 3 years, and I think I've achieved a hell of a lot. Like, I've got another Italian heavyweight, Guido Villanello, who I got signed to Top Rank on a huge deal, to be honest, for someone his age. And he went to the Olympics, but he'd never won anything significant in the amateurs, but he was, as I say, an Olympian heavyweight. But we've got him an enormous deal for someone his age and his experience. And I've got a good stable of fighters now, a small stable of fighters, how I want it to be. I want it to be like a boutique boxing stable, which I think I'm building. I think I've tried to cover as much ground in short space of time as people kind of get the gist. I didn't want to like bore you all to death with all the ins and outs, but yeah, that's in a nutshell, that was it, mate. Yeah.
And what I do need to ask, Sam, is I read somewhere recently that you talk about that discussion you had with Floyd Mayweather, that you went out. Yeah. He said, "I'll give you 5 minutes of my time for an interview." Yeah. You went out, you bought yourself a £60 suit for that interview. Have you still got that suit, and do you still wear it to boxing shows right now?
I still got it. I'm a bit chubby around the waist. It still fits all right. But specifically, I remember going specifically thinking, I've always worn like a shirt and trousers, but I never liked running out before. I need another suit here. So I remember going to the shop, getting a suit. I thought, flipping it. I think I pull off Zara suits okay.
That's fantastic, Sam. I mean, it's a fascinating story, but you know, boxing is in your blood. And it looks like you've got a passion.
A lot of people don't know that, but like, my family was a big part of it, to be honest.
And am I right in saying you had a great uncle, Tommy Jones, who fought at lightweight and welterweight? Had an insane record.
100 plus fights of 70 odd knockouts. So yeah, you can say he was a fantastic professional in his day.
Wow, so it really is in your blood. And Sam, I was just going to go back to 2016, post the Olympics in Rio. You hook up with Joe Joyce. You've given us a bit of an insight into how you guys met. I mean, obviously, Joe narrowly missed out on gold against Tony Yoba. How does someone with relatively no management experience in the sport, let alone the paid ranks, persuade someone like that, like Joe Joyce, to sign with Sam Jones when there are obviously established names out there? I mean, you've given us the insight, but obviously, you know, what swayed him, do you think, to go with you?
Listen, real people know real people, and like, a lot of people have got a lot to say about me, but I think anyone that knows me and knows me on a personal level knows that I'm a good guy. I'm very, very loyal. And I'll back you to the hills. If you're with me, I'll back you to the hills, and that's the way it is. And with Joe, I wasn't like putting Joe to sign. If you're asking yourself, I wasn't like putting sign, but Joe asked me, Joe's like, "Why don't you manage me?" And I was like, "Well, I'd love to manage it." And then that was just kind of the way it went, because I negotiated it for him, because I wanted to get into boxing. I didn't care how I did it, but I thought, I love boxing. I remember watching Prince Nazim Hamed when I was a young kid in some leopard print shorts. I used to sit there with no top on in the middle of the night. And I remember when he fought Kevin Kelly, and I had these leopard print shorts on. I was mad about boxing, and that's the way I got into it. So I think that with Joe, listen, that's why it was a big thing. Joe's took a chance on me, and then obviously with that is I realised that I suppose I could have done it on my own, but without Adam Morley, there is no S Jam. Do you know what I mean? It takes the two of us. Do you know what I mean? Adam is a crucial part in what we have, and as I say, he's a wonderful lawyer. He's got his own business. He runs a Brandsmith, so he's run for years. He's had some unbelievable clients like Gordon Ramsay, Mo Farah, He's done some huge jobs as David Hayes' manager. So I'm very, very, very fortunate and lucky to have such an amazing business partner like Adam. And that's as I say, he's 50-50 in S-Jam, and Joe's got a great management team. It's not just Sam Jones. It's not just the Sam Jones party S-Jam. It's very much so Adam Morley as well.
Sounds like you're a fantastic team. Now, Mark will tell you, Sam, ever since the amateurs, I've followed Joe's progress. And, you know, he does ruffle a few feathers because he's got that awkward style. Yeah, and he's a come-forward fighter. Now, you know, but you look at someone like Lawrence Okolie, you know, people say he's ugly to look at, but he's on the cusp of a world title. You know, this fight coming up, which was cancelled in April versus Daniel Dubois, is a real 50-50. I mean, surely the winner of this is thrusted onto the world stage. I mean, can you give us a little bit of insight on that in terms of Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, when Joe's last fight, for example, right, I think I counted four shots he got hit with, clean ones, to the boat race. Four shots. So when Daniel Dubois fought Richard Latte, he got punched countlessly, clean shots, Daniel Dubois, but no one ever comments on his defence. Do you understand it? Joe's just ridiculed because, yeah, he looks a bit stone-edged, but everybody that has ever been in the ring with Joe, you ask anyone, that's somebody like Fraser Clark, who is an unbelievable amateur, who's kick for to medal in the Olympics next year. Joe's beat him four or five times. You ask him if Joe's slow in the ring, because he may look a bit like that, but Joe throws 80 punches around for a heavyweight boxer, and for someone that's slow to throw 80 punches around, that's pretty special. George Foreman used to get. I'm not saying Joe's in the class of George Foreman yet. But George Foreman was always accused of being slow. Look at the damage he did in the heavyweight division. Joe's last fight was highlighted because, listen, Joe had a really hard camp in Las Vegas. We'd all collectively spent thousands of pounds on that camp in Las Vegas. Joe was in the best. I know it's cliche, but he was in the best shape I've ever seen him in. He was so focused. Because Joe's never really been excited to fight someone. Joe's just like, that's what he does. He loves it. But he's never been like, wow, these people. Because everybody thinks he's going to lose. So he was so motivated. So after the camp, he had to blow off some steam. Joe's been eating some custard creams. You know what I mean? He had to blow off some steam. He's a real athlete, but he's only a human being. Do you know what I mean? He's been eating a few fish and chips here and there. He's just a normal person, and we got 4 weeks notice for the fight, which we were very grateful with, because Joe needed a fight before the Dubois fight, which was potentially now in October. So he took the fight on 4 weeks notice, and he got the job done. He took the guy out in the same time as Tony Yoka did, and S.A. Ajagba too. Other prospects in the heavyweight, two very highly rated prospects in the heavyweight division. And Joe disposed them, I think, even quicker than those two. So people are always going to give Joe stick, but when Joe fights Daniel Dubois, a lot of people are going to have egg on their faces, because Joe's going to stop him, and he's going to stop him a lot easier than what people think he's going to do it.
Now, Sam, it will be a fascinating contest, as you've just touched on there. I mean, the fight was originally planned for April, but it's been pushed back due to the pandemic. You mentioned there an indication of potentially October. Is it likely will it take place there in October, or are we looking, you know, when are we looking for the fight to take place, Joe Joyce versus Daniel Dubois?
To be honest, mate, if I'm being really honest, mate, we just don't know, because that's the idea. 24th or 25th, I should know this, but yeah, the 24th or 25th of October, it's been pushed back so many times. That's the idea, but we're in a strange world at the moment, aren't we? So we just don't know. But one thing is certain: Joe is contracted to fight Daniel Dubois. That is the fight we want, and the only reason we took this fight is because it's what the fans demanded. And we're in a sport where Joe has always said to me, "Guys, whatever the boxing fans want to see, that's what the fights I want to give them." So we went with the Dubois fight.
Yeah, well, hats off to you and your team, and obviously Joe as well for, you know, for taking that on. But you know, Joe's not the only boxer under your wing. You know, your management team has grown organically since you stepped into the sport. You appear to be gate crashing Essex, Sam. You signed Essex lad Joe Hedges. I mean, John Hedges. An elite amateur, 6'5" southpaw middleweight. I mean, what a prospect.
He's. I've got another fight. I can't tell you who it is yet, but we've got someone else from Essex joining us very soon. So yeah, a bit of a gate crash. But yeah, John Hedges. I'm so excited about him, mate. I really am. He's so impressive. He's so much more mature than I was when I was 18. I think back when I was 18, I cringe. His nickname is the gentleman. That's exactly what he is. He's well spoken. He's so polite, well mannered, and he's an unbelievable talent. I can't wait to get started with him. His debut, as Eddie said today, it's going to be in September. So we can't wait for that.
And Sam, you've also got the talented super middleweight British and Commonwealth super middleweight champion Leron Richards. Now he's due to fight a former guest of the show, Umar Sadiq, which will be show 3 of the Queensbury promotion series at the BT Studios. Now, Sam, have you spoken to him at all about the up and coming fight? Obviously, he's under a new coach, David Caldwell. How's it all going for Richards?
I speak to all my fighters pretty much every day, to be honest. So yeah, I spoke to Lorraine today. He's just had a lovely, beautiful baby boy. So he's just literally on his way back to Sheffield now to start training again. And hopefully the new date for the Sadiq fight is going to be in September as well. So he's going to be in tip top. But Lorraine's banged up for the fight. If Lorraine fulfills his potential, Lorraine will be a world champion, 100%. It's all down to Lorraine. The only way Lorraine can lose is if Lorraine is because of himself. But with all respect to Sadiq, Lorraine's a level above Umar Sadiq, and he will prove it on the night.
Yeah, so clearly, I mean, I think that was penciled in for around the end of August, wasn't it? So obviously that's going to be pushed back.
Simply what happened was, I know Umar's been moaning about it, boring everyone to death. But Lerone's partner was due to have a baby on the. It was 2 days apart from the fight date, and I've never had kids before. I don't know whether you have, but you want to be there for the kid's birth, and you want to be there with your partner. And then the second date that was proposed was a week later, so. It's no fault of Frank. That was just the order of the shows. It's not Frank's not doing it on purpose. But that wasn't suited to Lerone. And this fight is a voluntary. It's a voluntary defence. It's not been ordered by the British Boxing Board. So it's got to suit Lerone. And it's nothing to do with his weight. Like Lerone's the most dedicated athlete I think I've ever seen. So he's always in great shape. So that's why that fight hasn't happened yet. But it's going to. We're contracted. We accepted to fight with Umar Sadiq. For a week, there was a show a week after the original Daniel Dubois against Joe Joyce on April the 18th, I think it was. We were scheduled to fight him then. Then that obviously pandemic came. It changed that changed all the dynamics, and then we signed to fight him again. So there's no Lerone trying to get out of the fight. I mean Lerone's more than ready to fight Umar Sadiq, which will be a great fight.
And I want to talk about another fighter in your stable, Florian Marcou. Now, you look like you've pulled off a masterstroke here, because Marcou is a real superstar within the Albanian community. They follow him around the arenas in the UK.
They call him the king. Yeah, he's unbelievable. Like I get stopped more, right? About I used to get I'm not such anymore because I'm a hermit now. But when I used to get stopped, it'd be like, "Sam, make the Daniel Dubois fight Joe Joyce." But I get stopped, especially when I'm in London. People pull me over. Ah, Marcou, they're crazy. They absolutely adore him. So when Florian, the time's right for Florian to be in a big fight, any kind of big fight, for any form of title, interim title, any kind of belt, you will see the O2 Arena full to the brim of Albanians and more so outside there as well, waiting to get in. Because they adore him. I've never seen such fanatical support. He was on the Ultimate Boxer Show in Altrincham, and I'd heard of Altrincham, but I didn't know where it was. I'm being honest. I didn't have a Scooby where it was. I'm in the country. It was near Manchester. Lovely place, by the way. But we went there and we thought, and Florian was like, there's going to be loads coming. I was like, no, they can't be here. It's Altrincham. Like flipping, I didn't even know where it was. And they just appeared through the floorboards. I don't know where they came from, but they just started filling the arena up. I mean, you'd never heard an atmosphere like it. If he was boxing against him, you'd be intimidated. Naturally, you'll be intimidated by his supporters because they are so loud. They are so fanatical for him, and it's just they're a country that back their own, and they do in their serious numbers with Florian. And the best thing about Florian is many people can think, oh, he's just a ticket seller. Let me tell you, he can seriously fight, and he will be a world champion. I'm almost certain of that.
And there's been rumours, again, a local fighter not too far from our studios here in Brentwood at the Matchroom Gym, Conor Benn. I mean, what a fight.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Conor Benn, to be honest, like, as a person. I get on with him very, very well. Like, I always have time for Conor whenever I see him, whenever I chat with him. But what a fight between him and Florian will be. What a fight. It will sell out the O2 Arena in a matter of minutes. And their styles, I mean, if you've watched Florian fight and watched Conor Benn fight, it's going to be a car crash. It's got to happen. Eddie likes to fight, so hopefully when the crowds come back, we can make that fight happen, and I'll get you some tickets.
Oh, superb. That would be a thrilling fight, I must admit. Now, Sam, it sounds like you've obviously got your hands full now with managing your crop of boxers. Last question, really, from us here at Phoenix 98 FM. For anyone listening who's got ambitions to go for it alone and they're caught between a rock and a hard place like you once were, sometimes not getting the rub of the green in terms of luck, what advice would you give to those guys?
The advice is, have I had elements of luck in my life? Yes, because I've got a great business partner. Yes, because my first signing was Joe Joyce. But I put myself into those positions. So I've had a lot of people, I've had a lot of times in my life where I've been, no, 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 no. You've got to hear no a few times, but there's always a yes. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to keep plugging away. And anybody is able to do anything they want in life. I mean, whether that's being a boxing manager, whether that's being whatever you want to do, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for every single person, because we're all the same. We've all got 24 hours in the day, and we've all got to make something happen. You create your own luck in life.
Fantastic, Sam. Listen, mate, thank you so much for joining us on Phoenix 98 FM tonight.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
We wish you and everyone associated with SJM Boxing the best of luck. And again, take care and thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Charlie, you know, just a lovely, lovely guy. He's going in the right direction. He's a young and upcoming promoter. You know, 3 years in the sport. Look at the stable and the crop of boxes he's got. I mean, we could have spoke forever, you know. He's a bubbly character, you know, loving life. He's probably loving the hot weather this weekend. And he's got a, you know, he's got a big, big boxing future, Sam Jones, so watch out for him.
Mark, it's fantastic, you know, because obviously in a world where, you know, the corporates and the big organisations are controlling everything, you know, it's refreshing to see, you know, not a one-man band, because clearly he's got a team. He mentioned his attorney mate, you know, Adam Morrell. So clearly they've hooked up together. They've realised that they're onto something. And ultimately, they've taken a risk. That's what it boils down to. You know, there's plenty of talkers out there that go, you know, I could have done this, I should have done that. The guy's taking a risk. And he had 5 minutes with Mayweather. 5 minutes. And he took those 5 minutes and he made it work for him. And again, he took the risk. You know, he wasn't even paid for that job. So fantastic. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that interview. It was fantastic.
And I hope he does get us those tickets for Marku versus Conor Benn. So if you are listening, Sam, I'm coming for you, mate, if that fight happens. Now, Charlie, back on live on Phoenix 98. It's quote of the week.
It's not really a quote this week. Oh. Mark, it's not really a quote this week, it's more of a reading, and I've captured it today. I read it on social media, I thought this is fantastic. Have a listen to this one, listeners. Now, just hopefully that interview inspired you. Listen to this. Obama retired at 55. Trump started at 70. Sydney is 3 hours ahead of Perth. but that doesn't make Perth slow. Someone graduated at the age of 22, but waited 5 years before securing a good job. Someone became a CEO at 25 and died at 50, while another became a CEO at 50 and lived to 90. Someone is still single, while someone else got married. Everyone in this world works based on their time zone. People around you might seem ahead of you, and some might seem to be behind you, but everyone is running their own race in their own time. Do not envy them and do not mock them. They are in their time zone and you are in yours. Life is about waiting for the right moment to act. So relax. You're not early. You're not late. You are very much on time.
Lovely, lovely words, people. Don't forget, next week we're back at the Matchroom HQ. We've got Felix Cash versus Jason Wellborn. That's coming up Friday night.
Yes, we've also got Doherty. John Doherty's on that show Friday night. But don't forget Wednesday, Mark. MTK are back. Great little fight. John Joe Carroll versus Maxie Hughes. You've got McCone versus Uzgol. You've got Pierce O'Leary. And you can catch that on IFL TV on the web. It's not on television, but you'll catch it on the web. Saturday night, BT Studios. Oh my goodness. What a lineup we've got. Cole Frampton, Michael Conlon, Archie Sharp versus Jeff Afori. Last week's guest. Boxing is back in a big, big way. I am loving it.
I cannot wait. I'm actually sat here moving in my seat already. I'm really, really looking forward to it. You know, beautiful weather, boxing on the TV, cider flowing, lagers flowing. Oh man, looking forward to it. Really, really am.
Happy days, guys. Well, listen, thank you for listening this week. As usual, get us on all the socials, Twitter on the Ropes FM, Insta on the Ropes FM 1, Facebook group on the Ropes. If you want to listen back, go to www.phoenixfm.com. The show will be up there and you can download it from tomorrow. Follow us, tell your friends, the best boxing radio show, not just in Essex, London and the South East, potentially the UK. Listen in every week from 8 p.m. every Sunday.
And always remember, guys, you're always in with a puncher's chance.
Have a knockout week. We're going to leave you with this one. Bit of Minder, the old car salesman. This one's for you, Sam.
This is for Sam Jones, car salesman turned boxing promoter. Have a great week, guys.